This podcast does contain spoilers, so if you're okay with that, listen on. If not, pause the podcast, go watch the movie we're about to talk about, and come on back.
All right, sweet.
Excuse me.
Brian, over here. Hey.
Pardon me.
Why don't you have the popcorn? It's starting!
Woo! Hey.
Hey. Shut up. Shut up and listen to the podcast. Hey!
There's a lot out there to see. This is what we watched. I don't know. You guys tell me, was I in a tornado or was I not? Because I was near a tornado.
I'd say it was near.
I would argue
a tornado.
You just said it yourself. I was near a tornado.
Tomato?
You just Freudian slip corrected yourself. Was I in a tornado? Because I was near one. Oh, okay. Well, that's what I
love. You're near a tomato. That's what I was cracking about.
I was near a tomato. Because...
You tell me, was I near a tomato?
But like I said, because that big tree that fell was behind the house. So the path actually crossed over this house.
See, for me, it makes a difference if you... there was a random specific area that also got hit a previous year with like a... They weren't calling it a tornado. It was some sort of crazy wind gust, like draft that came through that was like tornado speeds and stuff. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened. Huge ass tree
spinning
fell down.
Wind. Not a tornado.
Now,
spinning.
I don't know
wind.
If it was spinning. It was like a rare weather
a wind
phenomenon that they were calling. I don't know what they called it, but it was just like it happened really fast and really strong, and like trees and fences flew off. Like the entire parking lot next door to me, their entire like roofing thing stripped off, and it was all metal. But it literally only happened for like 20-30 minutes, and then it was done. I was inside the whole time because I was not going outside that whole time for sure. But I can't say that I don't know. I can't say that when I think of experiencing it or being in it, I'm like, I picture like driving from one place to another and I'm just like, I got caught in it essentially.
Sure. Okay.
Rather than hiding from it. So I don't know if I think in it, I'm thinking of Glenn Powell, like this movie where he's fucking like, just going straight for it.
You know, a couple trees got knocked down. It's like, you know, I understand. I can sympathize with this movie.
Yeah.
Those trees fell down.
Yeah, that was really hairy. I mean, you saw those leaves getting blown all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
That was crazy.
Oh.
All right. Welcome to What We Watched. I don't know how we're going to cut this one in. Well, this is What We Watched. This is a movie review podcast. It's a podcast for movie lovers and TV lovers and for those who like casual breezes in the wind. Well, I guess not today. People who like casual breezes probably shouldn't listen to today's episode because today we're talking about twisters.
Yeah, the non-casualist.
The non-casual wind, Gus.
Non-casual. Exactly. Professional wind, okay? we're not those hobbyists.
No, exactly.
No, professional wind.
Professional wind. high quality, dare I say, free-range wind. I'm Brandon. I've got Jeff and Matt with me as almost always. And thanks for stopping by, everybody. Last week on the podcast, we were continuing our journey through Fallout with a couple other of our co-hosts, of our special guests, whatever you guys want to call them. Help us out. Help us figure out who to call, what we should call ourselves.
Fallout Boys.
Before that was Kinds of Kindness, Yorgos Lanthimos. Crazy. I don't even want to say a triptych. That's what it was called. And we're not 100% sure what's going to be next week. Might be Deadpool. Might be something else. But yeah.
Life's confusing. Leave us alone.
Life's very confusing. Time's weird. I believe we have started our August month of movie club.
Ooh.
What was that theme again, Matt?
Time travel?
Time travel. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if this is...
Maybe we have, maybe we haven't. Because of the time.
Time is super weird.
Time's hard. But we're going to have Tenet. We're going to have the other one and the other one.
Yeah, I like that other one. I like that other one a lot.
The other one's good. Was I doing Tenet?
We're falling apart real fast. Oh, I love that I did this.
Because we already did About Time, so Brandon can't do that again.
I can't do that one.
About Time.
Can't do that
one. We already did Terminator 2, so can't do that one again.
Brandon definitely, both of your guys' favorites got knocked off. Oh, anyways, damn. I'll figure it out and then.
Ooh, time machine.
I'll figure it out. But we're talking about Twisters today.
Twisters. Oh, it's Arrival, Tenet, and Matt's pick.
Oh, right. What was Matt's pick?
I thought Matt.
It was going to be Palm Springs, but then he decided to pick something
else. That's right. You did pick Palm Springs.
No, I didn't. Oh. God.
He all wanted right. to, and then I made him feel bad about it. That's what it was.
Everyone just had better movies. Oh, my God. All right, whatever. I don't know. I'll search for it, see if I can find it.
But anyways, yeah, Twisters.
So Twisters. Hooray, Twisters.
Twisters. Twisters. Yeah. I mean,
did you guys get the magnet from AMC?
What?
Oh,
did you
I
go to Highlands
I had it
Ranch
down here with me? I'd show you guys. Well, that you're each going to be getting a magnet at some point if I ever see Thanks, you again.
Jim. Wait, hell so yeah. Did you go to Highlands Ranch to see it?
I did.
Highlands Ranch gives away all the shit. Westminster Promenade rarely does. Yeah, I'm getting annoyed by it.
Whoa, hey, Jeff, hold strong. Westminster.
We're going to
better.
Deadpool. We're going to Deadpool and Highlands Ranch, so we'll get something there.
Oh, are we?
Well, that's the one that had the open seat still.
I mean, unless.
Oh, God. I got to get off work even earlier now because I got to make it down to Highlands Ranch.
If there's anything left by that point.
Oh, my God.
Because there's a Wednesday showing. There's the tomorrow, as of when we're recording. Tomorrow is when the preview comes out. Which when I looked, there was one seat right in the middle of the auditorium and then a few in the very first row. Of course, I'm working, so I'm not going. And then there's a shit ton of showings Thursday. So I wonder if they do have any, you know, posters or anything like that, if it's all going to be gone after Wednesdays or if there's anything for Thursday.
I'll be mad if they run out by the time it's officially coming out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like on its Friday really release. Irritated. If they don't have anything, I'll be sad. I'll be a very sad Jeff.
Sad panda.
sad boy. Sad
Matt's doing
boy.
Edge of Tomorrow.
That's right.
Hey, I'm doing Edge of Tomorrow. That's what it was. Edge of Tomorrow.
How did you remember all of a sudden?
thank God, because my scrolling through our text message group was not going well. Sweet.
So now that we've started the podcast.
Hey, Brandon, have you ever been in a natural disaster?
You know, let me ask you guys, have I been in?
Have you been in it or like near it or
what is it?
You've been,
I would call it proximity too.
I've driven directly in a blizzard before. I've
directly in a blizzard. Mm-hmm. So does that mean you mean one specific direction, like directly that way, or you're just inside?
Just
now
inside.
You switched it to in. Now you switched it to directly. You just kept saying in constantly, and now it's directly.
He's like, well, that God, word's man. Off limits now.
See, like if you're in, if you're near
I was
a hurricane,
in the path of totality,
have you
of
penetrated
a,
a weather system?
See, if you're in a hurricane, God. You have to be in the eye of the hurricane, or you're not in the hurricane. Obviously, everybody knows that.
So you, okay, Brandon, problem solved. You were not in the tornado. Problem solved. You keep answering your own question. Guys, was I in it? Because I was actually near it, but
I saw it.
No,
in
I have
the
not.
Distance. Was I in it?
Brandon, I've definitely been in blizzards and driving mm-hmm. across Wyoming was horrible coming back from one of the trips from Salt Lake City. We beat the road closing. So we got on the road 80 or whatever across Wyoming before they closed it because it was mm-hmm. horrible.
Was it because of wind?
Sketch. Oh, yes. It was whiteout. Complete whiteout. It was horrible. So I don't know
snow.
If it was a blizzard.
Okay.
I don't know if it was a blizzard, but
whiteouts are truly terrifying. Like
they are.
It really is.
The one I experienced was driving to work to the Gaylord for one of that when that they called it the bomb cyclone weather system came through. But man, there was a certain
was
point when driving Brandon. When you just stop seeing the poles and the trees on the side of the road, and then all of a sudden you're just in a white void. I'm just like, holy shit! Like
yeah.
Where the am I? You lose all sense of direction. Oops, I accidentally almost
I had,
my hand.
For one of the blizzards, one of those whiteout conditions that just came out of fucking nowhere, it seemed like, and piled up. We got like, 3 or 4 feet of snow. It was one of the record-breaking ones a few years ago. And it, I had like a 3-minute drive on a very like straight road that I've driven, you know, hundreds of times. And I literally like, I was like, I don't know what direction I'm actually driving right now. It got that bad. It was truly terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets weird.
Yeah, and there's psychopaths on the road also. When we were driving Wyoming, we could see legitimately probably like 20 feet in front of us maybe. So we were all getting in line, you know, put your hazard on, go in line, follow the person behind you so you know A, where the road is, and B, that you're not going to hit anybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then we're going probably 30-ish. Even then, it's like that was a little fast. And then people would, like a semi, would book it past us going 50 in the left lane. And it's like, you're going to kill somebody. You can't stop that quickly.
Jesus.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
That's scary.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I was driving back this most recent trip because I was in Grand Junction, and that's before I got shooed. It was raining like crazy, and I to the point where I even got over in the lane. I was like, okay, it's really a lot of puddles and stuff. And then when I was pulling up to, like, there was cars stopping on the highway, and thankfully when I pulled up, I was right at the exit, so I just, like, exited and then exited back on. Mm-hmm. But there was a car completely sideways on the highway, and there were people that stopped earlier. There's probably, like, 50 cars stopped so far. There were people standing on the car, like, trying to open and try to get to somebody, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, dude. On the –
from
it's
the
like
rain?
Raised.
Do they get, yes, like, hydroplaned, like, and flip over or something?
So when I stopped to interview him, he told me, I don't know, Jeff, I wasn't there. I'm assuming. What the fuck do you think I'm gonna know that for,
I
Jeff?
Don't know, man. You didn't tell us the conditions if there was actually like deep enough puddles to hydroplane or some shit.
But I set this thing up, Jeff, with it's raining, there's puddles everywhere, and it was sketchy.
I've driven through puddles. I don't know.
But again, Jeff,
he's driven in puddles.
Like, he's been in puddles, so natural disasters. Like, I don't know. I'm assuming he hydroplaned, hit something, and then turned. I don't know. Okay. All this shit was in the exit lane, too. Like, off the highway, like, 20 feet down, where it went down and then back up. All the there's a bunch of, like, work shit, too. So I think it was a work truck. I didn't see him because I wasn't there, Jeff, also.
He just passed by.
We're on the same page.
So you should have interviewed him.
Also, Jeff, I'm assuming that stuff got there from the vehicle. It could have been just other people's stuff. And again, I wasn't there. I'm just assuming these things, Jeff. Hmm. I didn't interview him to be like, can I get a checklist of things that were in your truck? Now, okay, sweet. So this is that's
I just like
came,
to hear your assumptions rather than you just telling me what you observed. Because I'm
that's
just like, oh,
I
that's cool.
Puddle.
Puddles in a truck. Okay.
Puddles in a truck. Classic story. Puddles in a truck.
Title.
Puddles and a truck.
Title.
I did, because I just got back from Grand Junction. It was good. I met up with somebody. I got to work with Joe, who I have not worked for. I worked with him years ago. And I love Joe because he's a weird fucking dude like me. And we've been going back and forth, like hiding something in each other's stuff. Kind of like, did you guys ever do the Smirnoff Ice? And if you like hide it and it's a reveal, the person's supposed to like chug it?
I don't think so, no.
I've never done that. But I remember you talking about this stuff before, because didn't somebody hide a shoe in somebody's thing or something
God,
at one
Jeff,
point?
You fucking ruin everything. So the thing that we're that we're trading back and forth
so
is
going
a
on
shoe. I forgot to grab it. It's in my car. I'll grab it once we start talking about it. But he got me so good. And I'm very upset because I think I'm going to ultimately lose. It started in Portland. We were drunk walking back from some place. I don't remember where. But we were walking through a parking lot, and I just found a random woman's shoe in the parking lot. And then I think I hid it in his, like, backpack as we walked back. And then so we've been trading back and forth. You know, he puts it in my, like, work stuff, and then, like, I hide it somewhere. And then we stopped working for the same company, and I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to win this because I had it when I left. Unfortunately, I had it when I left. But somebody that we both – that I knew was going to work with him in, like, Washington or something. And so I gave the shoe to her so that when she saw him in Washington, so she would give it to him. And that was, like, last year. I thought I won, and I was so excited.
So wait, did she just hand him the shoe, or did she play along and hide it in some of his shit?
Supposedly, what he said was, she was like, she did hand it to him, but she got him because she didn't say anything. She goes, oh my God, I have something in my car for you. And he tells me, oh, he was like, I was excited. So we walked all the way out to the parking lot. You know, we were talking, and then we get there, and then she just pulls out the fucking shoe, and she's like, here, Matt sent this for you. And then he got stuck with the shoe. Uh-huh. And then this motherfucker apparently has been driving around, because I also just left it in my car just in case for the opportunity. He has had this shoe in his car for a year now, and he held it on, and when we worked together, he hid it under my driver's side seat in my car and texted me when I was 2 hours already driving. And he was like, oh, hey, I think I left something underneath your driver's seat. And I pull it out and it was the fucking shoe. And I'm just like, oh, I was so upset. People, oh, man. Oh, I got shooed. And I think he's going to win it because, motherfucker, he lives in San Diego now.
Oh,
so,
yeah. There's special trip.
Am I going to have to? God, I'm going to have to drive to San Diego and like leave it on his porch or something.
Hey, you never know. In a year, you might work together again.
What kind of?
I know. Well,
it's true.
That means it's gonna be in my freaking car this whole time. Then.
What kind of shoe is it? Mm-hmm. Is it like a high heel, a stiletto? Like what are
it's
we talking?
A pump.
It's a pump.
Whew, I found it.
Okay.
All right, I'm back.
Let's
what
see
kind
it.
Of shoe is it? Oh.
It's like, not even
looks like a shoe from like the 1950s or something.
Dude, it's just, I bet you somebody walking home was like, had this when they were serving maybe.
And they're like, damn, I lost my shoe, but I don't want to go back for it.
Whatever this brand is. Well, hey, that their shoe has not been in that parking lot for 3 years now.
Maybe they went back the night of, and it's gone.
So I'm stuck with this fucking shoe. I hate you, Joe.
That's so not an easy shoe to travel around either.
Hey, Jeff, that's a very good freaking observation. I agree with this. I think I'm gonna try and see if I can get it in my spare tire, like squeeze it in there. So I'll just never think about it until like the opportunity pops up. Don't spoil this. I think I'm going to try and drive through sometime and write on here, go shoe yourself, and then drop it off at his, I also don't know where he lives. It's San Diego somewhere.
Just throw it in the
it's
ocean.
Small, it's a small enough town. You can just throw it in the ocean. That's literally, Jeffrey. That's literally.
Oh my God. If I could time it to a time where he's surfing, put it in the water, and then he just runs over it. Oh,
that
be
would
awesome.
Be the greatest thing. Of all time.
That would be great.
That'd be insane.
Anyways, speaking of cool things, I guess.
Insane things.
Insane in memories.
Of weather and water.
Speaking of, people should subscribe to our podcast and YouTube channel and everything like that. We are gonna, we'll jump to Twister, the main event.
Twisters.
There's
twins.
Twisters.
They have
oh
twins.
Oh my God, dude.
Which,
I hear you.
Which I totally thought, so the trailer did a good job of subverting my expectations because I totally thought the big bad was going to be more than one Twister at once. Like that was going to be the whole like, oh, imagine if there was two Twisters.
No,
but they did that
super
early.
It's always
early.
The F5s, man. Or what do they call it now? They called it something slightly different. Something F5s.
EF5.
EF5s. I don't know what the E stands for these days, but they updated
the
name.
Electronic.
Electronic it's funnel.
Entered. Entered F5.
Ah.
Proximity F5.
But speaking on those ratings, I did like that they threw in, we talked briefly before recording about facts that they threw in.
Mm-hmm.
I know,
mm-hmm.
I know. It's rough. Life is rough. But I do like that they...
I think I started the podcast then, right? Like 2 hours ago or whatever, whenever we started talking.
Sure. But I did like that they threw in actually like relevant facts. Like the one that Glenn Powell says is that the ratings aren't based on like size or anything like speeds of the tornadoes. It's based on destruction.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually how they are rated.
Yeah. And that cool. rating is the is the enhanced Fujita scale. And that's the U.S. began using this scale back in 2007. So
how did you say that again?
Enhanced version.
Enhanced Fujita.
Fujita?
I might be pronouncing Vegeta. It incorrectly.
It's like Vegeta.
Vegeta.
Fujita.
That is
like
a
Fuji?
Dragon Ball Z character.
But
Fuji branded.
Ah.
Fujita.
He sold out.
And it's enhanced.
Vegeta sold out. Well, we know he's enhanced.
anyway, yeah. And they also consulted, I think it was 12 different between meteorologists and scientists. They consulted people on this film to kind of get that science down, you know, to not just feel realistic, but to actually be realistic.
No, that's cool. People like our friend Mel will like fucking love that. Like through and like actual meteorology terminologies and stuff like that.
I assume, but maybe they messed up more stuff because I just don't know enough about it. I am tempted to attempted to text Max to tell me how Mel felt about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there could be totally like other things that missed, mm-hmm. That got like drastically wrong, you know.
Right. Like, is it an EF6 when it sucks up fire? Like, what do you
call it? I don't know if that's physically possible too. I mean, it's a lot of air, you know, fire is air, mm-hmm. but I feel like it needs to burn, have something physical to burn, right?
If yeah, not, so as long as the fuel is being sucked up with it, why not?
The gasoline that the tornado is currently flinging around is on fire, not the tornado.
Correct.
Yeah, the tornado is in the gasoline. It's direct.
Can I light gasoline? Anyways, whatever.
Yes.
It directly experienced the gasoline that was on fire.
And then spin it around and have it being a free-formed gasoline ball of...
Oh, anyways. I see what you're saying. Like a firebender.
Exactly. Did you watch the... you've seen the original, right, Brandon?
I want to say I have, but honestly, I don't know.
So you didn't recognize some of the stuff.
So you also didn't watch... There's so many references. Mm-hmm. So you haven't. So Jeff and I both watched it. I watched it today. Jeff watched it in the past.
Yeah,
I wish that I had well, watched it recently.
The path becoming damaged. They reference that in the original also.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like that's like the stat that everybody took from it too, mm-hmm. the original, amongst other things.
Okay,
but anyways, mm-hmm. at the end of this, Jeff and I are going to decide if. The original is better than this one.
Oh,
which
shit.
One's better? At the end, we're gonna.
You got time. You got time.
Stick around for that.
Yay! So my main question that I want to ask you guys, whether or not this actually is the
title,
like
12 inches long or so.
I doubt that. So I want to know what your thoughts are. When I was doing my research, a lot of people referenced this movie as a specific type of movie. And it's not a disaster movie by a lot of people's accounts.
Hmm.
Is Twisters a monster movie?
I think it's a rom-com.
So, Brandon, honest to God, I would clarify Twister as a monster movie and Twisters as a rom-com. I agree with that. But
be a rom-com, though, because they actually got together?
That's what I said. Twisters would be a rom-com. The original... This is another question I had. Brandon's out. He's back. This is another question that I had is, are we annoyed by the names? Which I'm already annoyed by the names. Fucking Christ. Twister and Twisters. It's so irritating.
Can't wait to do our prefer fantastic Twister franchise too? On Alien and Aliens.
I would have preferred anything else. Could have done a colon with something. You could have gone two if you wanted, but I don't think it's a sequel. That's my problem. Because I don't think it's a sequel necessarily. We'll figure out. I would call it a reboot probably, but
the
first one is legitimately, I would call a monster movie. And I would absolutely defend it because one of the things that the original did with audio is they added like growls and they added a personality to the Twisters. Like, when you would literally hear growls or when it grabs stuff, when it getting closer, they would call it and they would treat it like a creature all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't think this one did that necessarily. It felt like it was much more
about the people.
Less. Yes, I think so.
That's hard.
I definitely think that it falls more under the monster movie aspect than it definitely is a disaster movie as well. So the people who are saying it's not a disaster movie, I disagree with. But I also definitely see it as a monster because it does attack and it does kill people like right from the get go. And yeah, it kind of does stalk these people. I mean, you know, it stalks everybody in Oklahoma and it does almost act on its own.
Well, so can I ask a question? What are we putting as the standard for a disaster movie? Because when I think of a disaster movie, I think of like maybe Dante's Peak or something like that. And it's got the same.
Wow. What a pull. That was just a random one to movie.
It's because it's Twister. It reminds me of it. But it's got like the same steps. Like you open up with a scene and then someone dies from like a geyser because this volcano is about to erupt. Hmm. And then it goes on and then they try to like, it's basically very similar. They're like scientifically trying to figure out what's happening. And then like disaster happens and people die, people live. People kiss, whatever.
I don't know. Honestly, realistically, I would call this I would say disaster rom-com action, probably. That would realistically, I mean, that's a ton of them, but I do really think it's a disaster. Mm-hmm. To me, it doesn't scream creature, maybe just because I'm comparing it to the last one. Mm-hmm. And it didn't feel like it. I feel like if it's a creature movie, it's got to have at least like a little bit of personality wise.
Well, because I mean, like, in this one, they're literally fighting the tornadoes, right? They're literally going out there and trying to stop the tornado from happening.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, they're trying to actually turn things around.
They do actually in the end defeat it, right? And that's what a lot of like classic monster movies or creature movies, that's usually the plot is it attacks, it, it's, I can't think of what I want to say, torments people. And then they have to figure out how to defeat something that is, you know, ultimately more powerful and supernatural. And I think that kind of ticks a lot of these boxes. I mean, Tyler even says, that tornadoes are part science and part religion. And they're, somewhat supernatural in a way, because we legitimately still don't know how tornadoes are actually formed or why they form. Which is also super fascinating to me because we, now actually have teams of people chasing these storms and studying them and doing as much data collecting as they can to understand all of this. And yet there's still not that understanding, which is mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you fight something when you don't know where it comes from? That's kind of terrifying.
I see what you're saying. It just doesn't like, I feel like I could, bend this to that into shove it into the box if I tried to. Mm-hmm. It's just when I walk out of it, it doesn't feel like a creature movie to me. And, maybe that is just also a greater thing of that. It wasn't my favorite in the world. So, I personally think I'm not going to answer that now. So maybe it rolls into that kind of side of it where it wasn't my favorite movie in the world, so I don't think they did that well enough to be considered a technically I could clarify it as a creature movie, but I could do that for a lot of things.
They're very much the same.
And I wanted to get your guys' opinion on this before dropping the truth fact on you is, so the director Lee Isaac Chung
give a shit what he says.
Consider it himself to be a monster movie.
Good to fucking know.
Yeah.
I would love to ask that dude about The Room and see what he says about that movie. it's an epic. Okay, well, now it's an epic, just because he says it, doesn't he?
I mean,
what
the way I see it.
What he wanted to make and what came out are two different things.
Sure.
The way
sure,
I
no,
see
absolutely.
It at this point is that I think they're all actually very very similarly structured. Just one's classified as disasters because it's natural, like world phenomenons versus the actual tangible creatures, animal things.
Sure.
Two different categories.
Otherwise, I think they're very similar. Like they are all essentially the same.
I think you're spot on, Jeff.
Go team Jeff.
Yes.
All right. Do you want to go on the story or like visually how it looked? Anything scream to you guys right now?
Well, let's talk visual because Matt, you brought up something to me before we saw this movie about the fact that some people...
Wait. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, what's up?
Overall, how did it look? I just want to see what Brandon's how did it look, Brandon, visually? Just like, just visually, did it look?
What did you think?
Just short answer.
It looked good. It looks big.
Okay. Do you know what they shot on at all?
No, I know nothing about the technical specs. I was hoping Jeff looked that stuff up so he could tell me. I know nothing about that.
But it looked pretty modern, right?
But it definitely looked pretty, it felt pretty modern, and it felt it did feel very realistic. Again, going back to our, comedic open or bonus or whatever, wherever we put that, I've never seen a tornado in person with my own eyes touch the ground. Mm-hmm. So I can't say...
that looked fake
that
or
looked
whatever.
Fake, well, that looked realistic. Yeah, that was digital.
But also,
or like that. But
I wish Brandon has seen the first Twister movie at this point
recently enough to actually have an opinion
because,
on it.
Because there is a comparison. Like what I was going to explain was that Matt told me that some people aren't liking the look because people are saying it looks too clean,
Netflix-y.
Too new, too digital.
What I read as Netflixy.
Which is interesting because of the fact that when we watched it, I could see film grain on it And then we looked it up.
On film, Brandon.
They all shot it all on film.
Did they really?
And, yes. Yep. And it shows, like, because then there were some, like, other people on the other side that were saying they liked how they kept the looks very similar to the first movie, mm-hmm. which they was obviously, like, shot on film then as well. But I could tell, like, it was shot on film. It had that graininess. And granted, it had, like, a newer, like, it did have a newer feel and look to it, because obviously mm-hmm. they were able to do some things in post-production technology that they haven't been able to do, sure. like, early on.
I would assume they shot cleaner. On film and scanned it pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but yeah, it looked good, and it was on film, and it did look filmy to me.
I personally did not see the grain.
Oh, really?
I don't think it looked... I wouldn't call it Netflix-y to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I would have called it... Honestly, I would have called it closer to, like, maybe Love Lies Bleeding than, mm-hmm. you know, right. Hitman.
Because I get what people are saying by that. Like, when people say it looks Netflix-y, I also equate it to the same thing as, like, say, Marvel. It's got... They're using the newest... digital technology, a lot of it's red, a lot of it's like the new RE sensors and stuff like that, digital sensors, and they do look good. They do look clean compared, like super clean compared to, specifically red looks very clean, saturated, contrasty, as far as like a modern, slick, polished look. Whereas this movie still had some grain and some grittiness to me. You don't see like all the crazy imperfections like you may be used to, but it was a clean film look.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely kind of am in the same boat with Matt. Like, I didn't see the grain, so I guess I just wasn't maybe looking for it, but it didn't look like it was shot on film to me. But
hey,
I mean,
Brandon,
there's
Jeff
a point
could be wrong.
We've made.
I mean, Brandon, Jeff could be wrong. Totally.
That's true. There's a point that we make multiple times is, you know, how can you tell and how can you say one's better than the other because they look so similar at this point now.
Very true.
Style.
Very true. Mm-hmm. How did we feel about, you know, it definitely didn't look Netflixy. I will say part of the thing that I personally didn't like, and I feel like it shouldn't be a shock, shock at all. It was very shaky.
Oh,
and
yeah.
To me, it looked very shaky. And like the handheld style, I think goes better with gritty and less, you know, epics. Personally, like smaller budget indies, I think that works out better than when I am doing, you know, showing up to the Dolby for this big epic. I kind of don't love it as much.
Right. Because when you have it on a larger canvas, you know, those shakes are, you know, accentuated 10, 20 times.
Because I almost don't mind it and didn't notice it as much in this movie. Like, there were a couple, like, scenes where I could visibly see the shake because they were going through a tornado. And then as it goes away, it stops shaking. Like, that was an intentional move. Mm-hmm. But I also equate storm chasing to somebody running through the fucking wind and rain with a camera. And it just, like, it translates for me in a way that works.
To me, that story is an indie, to me, rather than... kind of what they gave us, which it didn't feel like, you know, kind of a smaller budget indie, like they were living out in Oklahoma. I'm not saying they didn't shoot it on set. I mean didn't shoot it on location, because I'm assuming they did. It just doesn't like give me it gives me it didn't give me that feel personally, you know.
I mean,
the two
as far as like being on location goes, they were in Oklahoma. They did get interrupted by multiple storms multiple times.
Nice.
There was the strike that happened, which so then they had to come back in December and shoot.
Was that the storm you were talking about?
What's that?
Was that the storm that you were talking about? The strike?
Oh.
Sorry. were you in the strike?
Was it a lightning strike?
But yeah, as far as the production value goes, you know, being on location, I think, really helped. Getting to see a lot more of a grand scale was really nice, and I think led to me liking it more than if it was an indie and used, you know, with the shaky cam, everything with that. I think that it just the budget and was used really well.
Nice.
Whatever I'm
so,
trying to say. Lost my
so overall, did like the handheld shake didn't bug you as much?
No, I also didn't really necessarily catch it as many times. I think I was pretty invested in everything, and that felt like, you know, when they used it, it felt like we were actually, again, for lack of a better term, in the tornado and in the shit, you know, really, really in their perspective. And I guess it just didn't stand out as much to me.
Yeah, that's why, I don't know. I think that's why it blends and like feels like something that I didn't quite notice. as much.
Jeff, ever since I casually mentioned to you, oh, I should watch this in 4DX, I'm getting so many ads for this movie in 4DX.
Nice.
Ever since I mentioned it, it's so irritating. I feel like they used it to enhance the storms and the panic. Like, I get why they did it, the anxiety and stuff, but it just felt a little bit like they relied more on that than the rest of the things. And I'm sure this is going to be another thing that everyone disagrees with me. I didn't feel like I felt the storms necessarily.
Interesting.
You didn't see it in 4D. That's why.
Yeah. That was definitely the problem. Like, it was they definitely did shaky. I felt like them picking music over, actual like environment sounds kind of took me out of it.
Think the audio mixing could have been better in terms of making you feel more immersed?
I would have loved to pull back on the music like a motherfucker, because I want the wind to be the biggest thing rather than I felt like I was hearing, dramatic music and stuff.
So almost maybe the combination of A Quiet Place Day One, when those monsters were running through the fucking streets, like super loud. You want that dramatic amount of sound design for the tornadoes, essentially.
Well, I could growls. Be wrong, but in an EF 4.345, I'm pretty sure with those high speed winds, it's pretty deafening. So, being able to hear people, very clearly in crisp, audio, again, kind of goes back to when we hear a studio version being played over somebody, lip syncing to it. I think that if it felt more authentic, if it sounded more authentic, then it would have felt a little bit more realistic. Maybe I'm wrong, Matt.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, cool.
I was expecting this to go back to me after I said my thing and then you did it.
That answer did not.
I was trying to tie into what you were saying.
You're wrapping up my question and then double checking that I was agreeing on that.
Well, yeah, I was just trying to make sure that I was understanding and seeing if maybe I could understand where
you were coming from. I'm going to be honest with you, Brandon. I was looking at a note to move on, what the next thing we could bring up. And then all of a sudden I heard, am I right, Matt? I'm like, what? I apologize. I thought you were talking to Jeff. So yes, Brandon, I totally agree with whatever that you just said.
Love it. Love it.
Hey, Jeff, what'd you think about the color grading? And also, do you think that was enhanced or anything because they shot out on film versus digital?
I mean, I thought there wasn't anything particularly that stood out to me as far as color grading. So, I didn't notice any specific color cast or anything outside the realm of, what a storm would look like. So I thought it felt pretty natural in that essence. I don't know. Is there anything in particular you noticed that I did not?
No, I do agree with you. There was not, I feel like I was expecting something to pop. I think the green grass and the road kind of popped a little bit, but other than that, it was pretty, mundane, which is what I was kind of more looking for, which I was happy with. I like the coloring.
Yeah, now that we're thinking about it, it's like the stuff that when the angry clouds and storm clouds were in
the creature.
The shadows and everything got darker, the hues got a little grungier, which is all standard what I imagined that to be in a natural essence world look. But then the scene that I do remember, actually, as far as color, something that was a little different was when the fire went up into the tornado and there was that orange fire glow coming around, and it did look nice.
I think that the colors were fairly muted to kind of accentuate where we were. In Oklahoma, it's very dusty, it's very brown, kind of barren. But I think that it was also a little bit too well lit, and we could see things a little bit too well. The tornado was ripping through the town, and Tyler and Kate were trying to save people. I feel like that was a little bit too bright. When the power goes out, I feel like it'd be pretty much utter darkness, which may or may not, be less interesting film wise. But I think it's definitely more harrowing and a lot more difficult to survive something like that. Yeah. So
I love the idea that the screen is just black and the band is like, yes, yes, the realism.
True. One person has a flashlight way back in the corner,
and then you see them fly up into the tornado.
Sure, sure. obviously not, don't go that quite that far, yeah. But you know, something more, more along that. Those lines, because
don't back down, Brandon. I would have liked that.
because the director, Chung, he kind of hinted at, you know, he was watching Jaws a lot with Spielberg being the executive producer, talking about, you know, what Jaws did really well, to make it more, you know, of a horror movie. And so it sounded like he kind of wanted to move in that direction to make it, you know, this ultimate, you know, epic disaster, horror, thriller, and then kind of backed off of that a little bit too much. So if he, if he'd leaned in a little bit more in that direction, I think I would like it a lot more and like the color schemes a lot more when you really are playing with a lot more of the realism instead of, hey, we just need to see these actors.
Yeah, I would have liked if they went like either they went super gritty, handheld, you know, get in there, mate, you know, or gone epic, like, you know, wide interstellar shots, like like a whole gigantic landscape, you know, something like that. I would have liked to go either of those directions more. And I felt like it kind of like landed in the middle for me, and not in a way of like, oh, they did it so poorly. It felt too down the middle for me, which is kind of one of my complaints for this. It just feels very down the middle.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that really, you know, the most exciting that I enjoyed was like Glenn Powell and woman, their chemistry.
Daisy Edgar-Jones.
That's what it was. yeah. Their chemistry I thought was like my favorite part probably, which doesn't say a lot for a Twisters movie.
Whoa. Well, don't say that about Glenn Powell.
I said it correctly. No, I kind of liked him. Anyways, but yeah, continuing on the show. Go ahead, Brandon.
I had one quick thing. Do you think you would have liked including more of like footage from people's phones? Because we, you know, it's set in modern day, and we got a little bit of that when they're, you know, doing their YouTube stuff. But if we had seen like the storms from a cell phone perspective, would that have done anything good or bad?
So, go ahead. Sorry. I thought, so I would say personally for me, I would not have enjoyed it as much. And we kind of roll into story and like acting side, unless we have more visuals, free fuel to bring it back. But like, it would 100% have made sense. Like, I totally get that. And the YouTube stuff totally makes sense also. And I'm just not like, if, the YouTube stuff I thought was at a fine level. Like, we got some of their cameras every once in a while. You know, it felt real. But if we had start doing camera footage, it absolutely would have been like made sense in the universe. I'm not saying it wouldn't have. I just probably would not have. I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much
to watch
it through somebody's camera.
I think if they went that direction, you'd be bordering the line of like Paranormal Activity or Cloverfield.
Yes.
Versus keeping more of like, keeping more of the aesthetics of the original into this movie. If they went that direction, it would have changed the, I think, overall feel of keeping it within that same Twisters franchise.
I totally agree. But don't you think that that might be what this movie should have had to differentiate it from the original? From what I remember seeing, from the scenes I remember seeing of the original,
area. Here comes the man that went, I think I might have seen it.
I definitely have seen scenes. Now I know that 100%. I don't know if I've seen the whole thing all the way through. And if I have, it's been a long ass time. So from what I remember, it does feel very much, not necessarily copy paste, but very, very close to how it was, you know, shot and how it was filmed and that kind of aesthetic. So doing something like that might have helped kind of break the shell that the original had. I could be, like I said, completely speaking out of line here, but
I mean, I'll jump on board with that, having seen both recently. Think it was similar. I think they did use some similar aerials. I think they did use some similar car camera mounts and stuff like that. The CG was tremendously better. But
I think
it works. Like, I think I'm starting to get the impression I liked this movie better than you guys, but
more than me. I don't know about
I liked the similarities that they had and the little, like, I think they put in the appropriate amount of like callbacks to the original as well, like Dorothy 5 and then the little sensors in the very beginning. Well, that was all in the intro.
Dorothy 5 is going to be a conversation because I don't know how I feel about that. Well, anyways, I think I agree with you, Brand. What is your name? Jeff. I think I agree with you, Jeff. Yeah, that guy.
That's me.
that it, like, the beginning felt very similar, and there's absolutely, like, similar beats here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, similar car mounts, but, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. What are we doing? We're going to go, like, inside the fucking motor? Like, I know that they're inventing new car mounts and stuff, but, like, damn. Like, I, you know, at some point, let's just have a freaking regular car mount. Like, I'm okay mm-hmm. with it. So I do agree with you that they hit some of those here and there. Mm-hmm. And it feels like it is, you know, if you were to cover the two names, I would be like, absolutely, it felt like this one was inspired and mm-hmm. doing homage to the first one, the 1996.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like they copy pasted it to me.
Yeah. And in that essence too, like I think they changed it enough, getting more into like kind of a story situation. They like kind of swapped some of the like opposing factions and with mm-hmm. the characters involved. Like in the original, it was very much like, here's the corporate storm chasers, here's the like people doing it for the sake of science and like not yep. like not necessarily profiting.
The absolute love of it, because they're psychopaths. Yeah,
exactly. And so like in the original Twister, we're following the ones that are just like the science people and not doing it for profit and stuff. But then they switch it in the sense where our main character in this movie joins the corporate side, and then you mm-hmm. slowly start to realize the corporate like priorities, and then she swaps over back to like our, who initially were like, ah, oh, screw those guys, but then we're like, oh, they're cool still.
They're actually yeah, good people.
So I found that really fun that they did that.
I'm glad they didn't. I think I'm glad that they didn't just copy it, but like,
yeah,
I feel like they tried to do too much, mm-hmm. and they tried to have like they kind of wanted to have their cake and eat it too. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I honestly would have just liked if they just focused on Glenn and Daisy
Edgar Jones.
They just focused on them, and we could have just, you know, the bad guys could have just been faceless bad guys again, you know. Mm-hmm. I know it's gonna, we'd come out of it and everyone would be like, oh, how cliche, they just copied the other stuff, but I would have been fine with it. I think it mm-hmm. would have been, you know, I think we should have taken the good bad guy and just brought him over, and he could have just been funny. Like, I like that dude, I like that actor, and they could have just let him be a comic actor instead of like trying to do this serious like love triangle kind half assed this love triangle story.
Yeah, it was very half-assed, and it was wedged in there to try and get, you know, some kind of sympathy for Ramos's character, and then that was just kind of abandoned. And yeah, I totally agree with that. And
I didn't feel like there needed to be any sort of romance between
there absolutely
what's his
did
face?
Not need to be.
No.
What senior transformer
Ramos and Daisy Edgar Jones, like, I don't think there needed to be that it was only one line that he said, and I was like, oh, they just had to throw that in there, didn't
Dude,
they
it was very
I was
odd.
Like,
well, like it was very odd that they did that. And then on top of it, another thing that they fought, you know, the cliches, because it felt like he was kind of like, he fought cliches here's and there, they cut out the final kiss, right?
Yes. Yep, they did have a version where they kissed.
Yep. Mm. Well, Spielberg, I think, was the one that suggested that they should cut it, so it's not as generic and mm-hmm. and cliche. Mm-hmm. How'd you feel about that, Brandon? Because that's what you want.
That's my sweet spot. I love that they didn't kiss. I love that. I think that it absolutely would have made it too cliche and very boring. And again, I've seen it a million times. However, I think if they were going to go without the kiss, then they needed to dial back the romance at least a little bit. They need to scale it back, because it was very much like, oh, these two are meant to be together, and then you take that away. And so I see where, you know, some people could be upset that they didn't get together in the end, but I personally really liked it because I didn't think that it was about that at all. That to me felt more like a side story. Yeah, that to me felt like the B story. Kate coming back to, you know, enjoy what she actually does. You know. Go and chase storms and the thrill of it, because she's this, you know, tornado whisperer and this prodigy. So why waste those talents? And oh my God, you're amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, do whatever you like, do what you love.
Yeah. Well, personally, I thought they did it like delicately enough that it didn't feel that cliche. Like, you could personally, like, you know, I've only seen it once in theaters at this point, but it's like you could tell there was some sort of something going on there, but then there were, like you were saying, it was a B plot line. Like, there was the A plot line of like chasing down these twisters and like figuring out the science of how to like stop them from destroying several towns. Like we saw multiple towns get destroyed. And then, yeah, I forgot what other point I had. Damn it. I was on a roll.
Yeah, I don't know. It felt to me, it felt like the romance was the A plot and the tornadoes was the B plot to me. Because I felt like it was very centered around, oh, you know, he just shows up at the house and it's like that. Oh, hey, I told him I have him keeping staying over. Oh, hey, they interact like immediately. Oh, you know, it just felt like it was very it's like they wanted them to be together and like coupley, but not, they didn't want to start it with them being together and coupley.
Right.
They wanted it to like start, well, which I think they should have just started with them having a relationship. But again, that would have been cliche because,
but I just, you know, blah, blah, I just remembered part of the storyline that I was going to get to that's involved in this, but she was also overcoming her like fear of tornadoes and like the traumatic experience that she went through in the beginning, which does have a step into relationships because she lost her boyfriend that I called it from like the minute we saw them kiss. I was like, this dude is dead. There's no way that Glenn Powell is in this movie. Sorry, I had to.
Shut up, Jeff. I got it. We all know he's going to die. Shut up.
But I had to let you know right then and there that I was right.
I appreciate it. I
was really glad that they did kill so many people right off the bat because it really did feel like, oh shit, like there are actual stakes at hand. Like there are consequences.
Rather than just want just the guy, like they killed off like all the other friends, basically.
Yep.
Kiernan Shipka died. I was bummed about that. I thought she was going to be in the movie longer than just like the first 15 minutes. But
Right. Nope. Sure. Well,
I will say about the opening scene felt very like, personally, the opening scene felt the most of, hey, you guys remember the old one? Like, it felt like they were copying the same scene, even to the extent of her going, oh, yeah, mom's got barbecue at home.
I know.
I was like, oh, my God, guys.
Yeah.
I think they chilled out with that after the fact, even though they still had references.
Yeah.
But they
threw their main ones out all at once in the beginning, which I'm okay with. Like, it's like, oh, yes, like, here's all the nostalgia for people, and then let's go on to the rest of the movie.
Well, I'm glad they pulled it back. But, I mean, they did some other, like, when he was like, somebody said it, but it kind of felt out of context where he's like, oh, good to see you're back. And the person, I don't remember who said it, but I was like, oh, I'm not back, which is such a thing in the first one.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah,
you're right.
Which, you
she
know,
said
again,
that. Yeah, Daisy Edgar-Jones' character.
Yeah, that's what it was. But it's a cute little nod. But the opening scene to me, it changes the mindset so much from the first one. In the first one, Helen Hunt's character is like, she was a child when her dad died for no reason also, but that's a whole thing. We're not covering Twister, so we'll do that some other time because there's no need for him to do that. She became obsessed. Yeah, because the door flew off, Jeff, and nobody else died. So the door didn't need to be there. The other people in the bunker lived. So you could have just sat there and not die, and you would have been fine.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he held on to that door and he followed it out there.
He's a dumbass. He's really obsessed with my door.
My favorite door.
He's like, I built this shit.
Dude, for real. But so then that happened and she came.
He watched Titanic and went, no, this is, I am going to be on the door.
Yes. She watched this. The person died and then she became very obsessed with it. And it was like, you know, out of fear of losing more people, she became obsessed with it. And then this one, she didn't feel like she had the passion because that like a disaster happening because we didn't get to see her beforehand. Someone just casually in a line was like, hey, you love this stuff, right? Even though we didn't see any of it. And then it was just, oh, now I don't like it as much because bad things could happen. And instead of bad things could happen, this is my passion. This is what I'm like, I desperately want to stop this from happening to other people instead of her just being kind of a scared. So it didn't feel like that was a consistent because later on they were like, everything I care about is defeating this to save people. But it's like, you know, you wouldn't have disappeared and not done anything.
So I get it in the sense they brought it up like with Ramos's character saying that he imposed the blame on her for the friends dying earlier on because of the fact that she was the one that recruited all of them to get this grant. And she was like super motivated to like do this, all this like science projects and stuff to figure out how these tornadoes work and such. And I think that guilt in particular carried over with her and in the essence of also this fear of like trying to chase more Twisters is like, is anyone else going to die because of me kind of situation versus the one in Twister where her dad dies. That was just her experiencing it and being like, fuck, I don't want this to happen to anybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand
towns,
it.
She's watching towns get destroyed and be like, oh, thank God I didn't do anything so that nobody close to me. These people aren't close to me, so who gives a shit? That just feels like, it feels weird to me. But I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
Fuck those people.
another storyline thing. Can somebody explain to me, because clearly I'm misunderstanding the bad guy, the corporate people, right? Mm-hmm. what's the guy's plan? Because the way I understood it was the guy shows up and then he buys land from them because it's cheap, it's destroyed. I'm going to buy it at a lower value, give you some money. That's what I'm justifying. So you can get your life back together. And that's the whole thing, right? And then, unless I'm wrong, and then they the storm chasers are giving him better data of where the storms are going. Is that what it is? What advantage is the technology giving that corporate guy?
Oh yeah, I couldn't answer that question because that doesn't make sense either,
because he's just
As far as insurance goes, it's Brandon. I want the insurance guy, the insurance company is going to come in, swoop up, buy land at cheap, and then force people out of their homes or out of where they were living. What the data does,
he's not going to get there before the tornado to buy stuff,
right?
He's just following the tornadoes anyways. That's all he's doing.
Maybe, you know,
best argument I have for it is that he's getting people on this, like, on the ground as soon as possible so that he can swoop in there. That's the only thing
he could be there first, and then maybe so it could look like, hey, this company is actually doing research so that, hey, don't hate us because we're, you know, just a scummy insurance company trying to buy cheap land. Is, hey, no, we're actually using this money to, you know, go into funding to stop these tornadoes, even though that's not our ultimate goal.
Well, that's not even what they were saying. They were just saying we could predict like where they're going and stuff. That's what hit the research. And then I thought, what's his face? Javier was like also doing the other project on the side, kind of like quietly. That's what it felt like to me. Yeah. Well, actually, they weren't even trying that when he brought her back. Were they even trying that to disrupt the tornadoes? They were just planning on, hey, help me.
They were trying
track
to create
these.
A 3D model to like, help understand
data
again, whatever makes them tick. And
they said data,
that was it.
They did say
data,
gotta get the data. Okay, well, hey, that's just to me. I'm like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
the villain is confusing,
so,
to
right?
Me.
So that was a lot more murky. That's how I took it is you know, we're saving face, we're pretending to be a company who cares when really we're doing a whole bunch of shady shit that, you know, you don't see right up front. And so I kind of understand that, but that definitely could have been fleshed out a lot more. That could have been boosted or taken out entirely. And something that I found to be a little irritating after I was reading it was I agreed with the reviewer saying, you know, this is a disaster movie set in modern times that doesn't talk about climate change at all, even though these massive tornadoes are a direct result of climate change, of, you know, these things are going to happen a lot more and more and more because of what we're doing, and yet we're not going to handle this because of politics, and we don't want to get on one side or the other. And that kind of irritated me. I think that there was a lot of things that you could have used and a lot of ways you could have implemented that to make a lot stronger case for your characters.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was fine. I was personally, I think it was fine out of it, because it's like, yeah, I think that would have just been, it would have been like kind of preachy, because it's like, what are they really doing, like chasing tornadoes and being like, God, it's, we got to fix the climate, you know, here, climate change here, kind of thing. It feels like it would be two different storylines around tornadoes. You know, I agree that it isn't a big part and it does affect it and you do need to fix it and everything, but that feels like it's like a different, like, whole turn rather than, oh, I can't believe they didn't include it kind of thing.
For me, that seems like
a different aspect.
For me, I thought they honestly did it relatively well, in the sense that, like, they pointed at all these different, like, teams or factions, right? Like, you initially you look at Tyler and his team and you're like, oh, they're just out for making videos and making money and whatever and just doing this for, like, you know, like, they even just point out, they're just like, look at all these tourists that they bring, like, this kind of sucks. And then later it turns into the fact that, like, oh yeah, we only like sell the shirts to like the tourists so that we can raise money to help, like, help these people that go
the
through
survivors,
these,
right.
Yeah, the disasters. And then on the corporate
I would
side,
like to get more into that.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought that if with the amount of time that they have to focus on these, all these different things happening, I thought they did it relatively well that you have these initial understandings of these factions and then they flip them like,
yeah.
And yeah. And it worked out for me when on this initial screening. So yeah, that's my.
Yeah,
two cents.
I also liked like the I like the dual. I guess factions is a good word. The way that they were able to, you know, say, hey, look at this corporation. They've got all the technology, and it's my old friend, and they're doing so well. But then they flipped it and go, oh God, no, they're actually not in it for helping people. They're in it for the money. Versus, oh my God, look, these popular people don't give a shit about helping people. They just want the fame. And oh wait, no, they're actually the good guys. That was, and I think they actually twisted it at a good time. I think that they spun it. No, that's still
boo
the
this
same
man. It's interesting to me because it's like when I saw the guy with the hat and the headset or whatever, where he had like. I forgot whatever you want to call it.
His Javi's like partner dude, right?
Yeah, Princess Bride from the first movie. Yeah, I saw him and he looked so much like the kind of like the bad guy in the first one, the other one. Or
yes, no, I agree.
You know, a la the bad group in the first one. And I was like, oh, are they bad guys? You know,
yeah.
I kind of had that reaction. Was like, interesting. Because I honestly slowly figured out during the trailers, like the first trailer I saw, I thought Glenn Powell was going to be like the cocky, douchey, bad guy, quote unquote. And then another one came out and I was like, oh, he's the love interest. What is going on? I guess he's one of the good guys. I don't understand what's going
he's
on.
He's always the good guy. Come on.
Yeah, that's that is very
he's
true.
He's always
that is
the good guy. Even when he's the bad guy.
Yep.
You can find out when he's the bad guy and with our episode on Hitman.
I do think he did another good job. I don't know how much I love the like individual dialogue writing and stuff. I thought the best stuff to me felt improv-y to me. You know, when he was like, hey, put your seatbelt on or whatever. Put your seatbelt on. We're going into a tornado, for God's sake. Like, yeah. I thought that was hilarious. That was fun. Like, those small comments and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, how she
the little quips and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, she was pushing back at him when he was getting cocky and stuff, you know, and they all laughed at him when she walked away, you know, shit like that. I thought that was, like, my favorite. So I really would have loved to dive more into the good crew, quote-unquote, and their relationship and stuff, more than trying to kind of fit the other team in, fitting Javier, fitting this mystery corporate bad guy.
Yeah. Well, that'll be in Twisters's.
Twist eyes. Twisting.
Twisting. Twisted. We go back. We look at what these people have done.
Just twist. That's the prequel.
Ers.
Which will spawn the cinematic universe with Bop It and whatever else there is.
I'm annoyed I laughed at that, Jeff. I'm annoyed.
Only people our age get that.
Hey, getting old. But I also I want to echo kind of what Matt said about the acting performances.
I gotta pay attention.
Is that they were as far as Glenn Powell goes. I feel like at times he was flat and at times he was extremely dynamic and really interesting to watch. And I'm trying to pinpoint, I think you said it really well, Matt, is that when it was like felt more improv is when it felt more dynamic and it felt a lot more interesting to watch. Whereas a lot of the boring stuff really did feel generic and basic and like it was really watered down dialogue. And I wish that I could pinpoint exactly what made me feel that way. But there were several times that I kind of rolled my eyes at it.
Basically, you got bored with him once he fell in love with what's-her-face.
He was like, I can't have him now. I can't have Glenn Powell.
Yes, I can. They didn't kiss. All right? They're not a couple. It's not a rom-com.
That is very true. That is definitely how couples are decided.
Chase it.
If you feel it. You think that's a hit up? That's a hitline. Cod. T flirts with people, saying, "If you feel it, ride it."
Hey, and, like, now
feel the person.
Uh-huh.
I think he'd do good. Even if he's a creepy stalker that just shows up at her house randomly. What the fuck? He just turned around. She turned around and was like, "Oh, I'm here." And everyone was chill with it. No one got like, guys. Also, it was very odd. It was very odd to me.
Yeah, see? The big romantic gesture works if they're into you. Otherwise, it's creepy as shit.
If you look like Glenn Powell, you can do whatever you want, Brandon. But
Good to know.
Yeah. I like how he can actually drill his truck into the ground at the airport and walk away from that situation too.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how that works either. I mean, hey, maybe that truck is super heavy.
Yeah.
But the amount of force to drill into like asphalt, I feel like is more than the weight of a truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
How deep do those go? Because I feel like as you're digging in there, you're kind of loosening up the soil a little bit.
Yeah.
So I feel like you got to go pretty deep.
So that's what I thought when like it started dragging in the dirt when the tornado was pulling it. I was like, how is that thing not flying up right now? It's pulled all these other semis and other things like from a further distance, and it's not picking this truck. I don't know. Anyways.
Which Twisters, cool. Twisters also can kept up the cliche of like
picking up heavy ass shit
that are 3 feet away from me heavier got picked up. Me, I'm fine. I crouched. That was what happened.
Yeah, I know how convenient it was for Kate's car that she was borrowing was the only vehicle in that town that didn't get destroyed as she was driving, so she could drive away and go home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, guys.
How'd it even get there? I don't even know how it got
built
there. Like, someone pulled up. Someone pulled up from the disaster side and like backed in. You know what? I'm going to parallel park right here. I think this works perfectly.
Yeah.
Somebody might need this soon.
Yeah. I like the technology that they brought, like the drone and stuff. I thought that was cool. It all made sense. It felt very modern to me.
Yeah. A drone I couldn't have imagined would have done well in those scenarios, though.
Especially that light of one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
absolutely
well, with that
not.
Big of like wings and everything, too, it's like, it's a kite. It's like, becomes a kite.
Yep. It is a styrofoam plane.
So whenever I see, you know, news about wildfires, about floods, about tornadoes, about hurricane, you know, anything like that, I'm like, why do people live in these areas? You know, why wouldn't you just move because it's so prone to this kind of disaster? And I got a little bit of an answer from this interview that I read with the director. And he said, so he actually asked a lot of people because in that theater scene, there was a lot. I think they all were actually extras living in Oklahoma.
Nice.
And so they asked them how many have been in an experience kind of like this. And every single person raised their hands. So then they asked him again, you know, so then why are you doing this? Like, why are you in, why would you want to be in this movie? Are you guys traumatized? You know, that kind of stuff. And I guess people just love tornadoes. Like, they said that there's an interesting mix of having experienced and being very resilient to these devastating storms. Mm-hmm. But then they also have this deep, you know, and respect and admiration for nature.
Sure.
And that really kind of answers my question is, you know, you kind of feel maybe more powerful because you've lived through something like that, because you can take it on, because you know how to experience it, or because you get to witness something like that.
Do you feel more powerful having witnessed a tornado?
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? I'm on top of the world.
He was in it, maybe.
He was in it, dude.
He was in the state when it happened. It's not the cheapest thing in the world to just move, you know, pick up your life and move.
Yeah.
Family, friends, lives, you know, your family's lived there for generations. Mm-hmm. It's not just a casual like, oh, let's just move to Denver.
Sure.
But then you got people looking at Denver and going, why would the guy there was flash flooding. There was forest fires. Your house almost got burned. There was a blizzard where your pipes froze and you didn't have power for, you know. And they would go, why are you still here? Well, I like it. You know, I'm okay with it. You know, it is what it is. I know how to deal with this. You know, it doesn't happen all the time. You know, it's more of a rare occasion than every single day. We're going to, here comes a tornado, Tuesday tornado.
And I think this argument for every place, I would think, is like, it doesn't happen all the time.
I agree. Well, that's what
because,
I'm saying.
Everyone
has their own versions of it.
Right. Because I think the one that would freak me out the most is like the Southeast, like, US where they always get hit by hurricanes. I can't imagine my like having something come through and having to pack up and leave my place, and it might be underwater or something when I get back. Like, I can't imagine living in something like that.
Right, exactly.
Hurricane windows, dude. Like, that's a thing. Like, yeah. So I would argue that everybody has a different version of it everywhere else that everyone else thinks is that crazy. Like, that's what, to me, that just feels like, you know, why are people in Florida if it might flood? Why are people in, you know?
Why do people live in Alaska? Because it's, you know, 2 degrees cold. Mostly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, 100%. 100%. Shut up, Jim.
We've all been to Alaska. It's so special. Beautiful. Shut up. Shut up. Your fucking so beautiful photos and whatnot. No one
cares. Stop bragging.
I'll go back to
I don't want to do all like the references. I wonder if they showed cows at her farm, because that's the counter of what was in the first one. So when they went to the aunt's place, they showed her with cows. And in the first one, they're like, hey, where'd you get all this steak? And she's like, do you see my cows outside? And they go, no. Well, that's why. I kind of, there's a little bit of it. And Jeff can contest to this. When they were, when she was driving to her aunt's house, I got extremely giddy, because I think I wanted something to happen more than anything. And I think I would have been pumped by it. But I don't know if she had shown up. And her mom or aunt, I forgot what they made it, her mom or whatever. If her mom was Helen Hunt, I don't know what I would have done. I think I would have loved it with a passion, but I would have, oh my God, that would have been interesting. It would have changed a lot of stuff. Because I like, so there's a lot of homages, lines, or like they kind of do something in a similar situation. But I think that I know of, there's only one direct connection to the other one, but they don't necessarily state it. So is it a connection that it's the same world? Because Dorothy, that's straight up Dorothy. That's that's in the movie. That's the first one.
That's so, the fifth gen Dorothy, and they went through four in the first one.
Well, was it fifth or was that the fourth one?
I think
one?
It was the fifth. Like, I think I remember seeing the V.
I didn't know if it was IV or V. Sure, but either way, it is a straight copy of the other one, which, again, hey, prop. I would like that prop. I'd be that'd be gangster.
Which one?
What the... The container with all the sensors?
The whole thing. Yes. Yes.
No. You don't want the twister?
No, that seems problematic. Like, I'd have to deal with that.
Twister but so in a
does
jar.
That, does, oh, I'm done with that. You can do that, Jeff. Work on that, and then I'll pay you.
What about the little? What about the town thing that she had where, like, the actually created a little funnel of wind and going up? No?
Yeah, seemed intense, because there was a top thing, too. Yeah. So, like, you needed, like, both sides. Anyway, shut up, Jeff. So, does it make it part? Are the two universes the same now? Mm-hmm. And it's just in the future? Do you think so? Because they didn't reference. So. They didn't reference it. Oh, this is from, you know, remember when they did this and it broke? You know, it was such a monumental thing. They reference it being old. That's all they referenced it.
Yeah. I think, honestly, I think it was, like, Twister came out in, what, 96? I think that movie would took place in 96, and this one takes place in 2024. I think that is the time gap, because
I'm Dorothy, on board with that, Jeff.
Yes. So I'm just laying out the foundation. Sorry. And then, so when they have Dorothy 5, they talked about it being old tech and stuff, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. But then the sensors and everything had that new, like, you know, in the first one, how they cut up the cans to give it little fans and stuff like that. They already had a newer, like, aluminum design for that. So,
well,
like,
I think it looked closer to the original ones that they made for the original. So in the original movie, they have, like, the really good, nice ones that they make, and then those get fucked up. And then the climax, they make their own. Then that's the bottles.
They created the fans and put them onto the sensors, basically, right? That's what I remember. Like, they, like, because they're little fans, and they, like, had them fly up. So the sensors were,
in my mind,
I think
the
same.
Make out of a can, but that makes no sense.
aluminum collects data, damn it. Especially if it's Pepsi.
Sorry, I'm jumping back in. I kind of spaced out there for a bit because you were mentioning cows, and I remember seeing somewhere, it's like, when I was starting to do research, that they were like, where is, you know, is there a cow homage? There actually is one. There actually is a cow in a storm in this.
Was it tiny?
So
this is the same CG cow. Anyways, sorry. So, go on.
I'm just going to read it verbatim. Toward the climax of the film, there is a cow caught up in the storm, and it's, like, kind of in the background. It's just kind of in that flying debris somewhere. So it is snuck in there.
Yeah.
But
I was looking for it.
You have to, like, eagle eye it, and you have to actually, like, know where to look for it.
Interesting.
So, sorry, I'm back. What do we moved on to?
Nothing. I mean, unless you have something else, we definitely need to get to ratings at some point. Unless you guys got something else, go ahead.
My last thing is, would you guys have hated it if the movie that was playing in the theater was Twister?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I think I would have loved it. I'm not gonna lie.
It's only because you haven't seen it.
But I think I would have loved it.
Very true, Jeff. Just
he watched Twister and he was like, that like looked great. It looked a little old. The CG kind of sucked, but
this movie, oh my God.
Helen Hunt looked great.
She did. Hey, first off, she did look great.
I know, but like for it being 2024, I can imagine. Yeah.
What? That would be hilarious. Oh my God, that'd be so funny. I personally see that would be too fourth wall breaky to me. Like even the homages are where we're getting close to the fourth wall. Mm-hmm. And then I think that would have been way too like, that would have been like Deadpool level of.
Yes, ha, exactly. Ha, ha. That would have been super comical. Right. And it wouldn't have fit the theme or anything.
I wouldn't
like
call
that
it comical. I wouldn't call it comical. I would call it very.
I would have been like, I've seen this.
What are they doing?
Damn it.
Do you guys know what film was playing?
I've already seen this one.
Yeah.
Twisters.
No. Shame on you. Eh.
Twisters 2.
It was the original 1931
Twist of Boogaloo.
Frankenstein.
Oh, yes, I did know that. Yes, I know that you said that, I remember. And I was like, why'd they pick this one?
Yeah.
I missed for you the rest of the question. So you're talking about the movie that they were watching in that theater when it was like falling apart.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, what?
Not
so,
the, not the movie that in the theater that we sat in.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, boy. Oh, Jeff.
God, sorry, I missed this whole, I think, conversation, I think. Yeah. So was there a reason why they chose that one?
I mean,
my guess
the,
would be monster movie.
Exactly. Creature movie. The article.
It's not even the original.
Writer, exactly.
Anyways, boo.
They kind of make it akin to a monster movie is, you know, that it's alive and that it contrasts whether where
I would
science
like if they
creates
did Jaws.
A monster in Frankenstein and now in Twisters, science is trying to defeat a monster. So that kind of aesthetic. I'm sure I would love it if that actually was the reason why, but
I mean, that's what he said. Isn't that what he said?
That's what this just reviewer had put in.
Oh,
I mean, I can see that. I would have liked, since you brought him up saying like he talked about Jaws and referenced Jaws for a monster movie, I would have preferred if that was showing in that theater.
That'd have been great. Couldn't get the rights to it, even though Spielberg was in.
Because they're also
producer.
Doing the science trying to figure out how.
In what world could they not have gotten the rights to that?
I know. It was Amblin, I think, was part of this.
Yeah, it's Spielberg.
Yeah.
Because Spielberg owns all of it. Same with Michael Crichton. He was on the writers.
Mm-hmm.
Which I assume. I'm assuming he didn't do any writing on this movie.
I don't think. I didn't see anything about that. I saw that Joseph Kaczynski was credited with the story. And Kaczynski was the one who directed Top Gun Maverick. He originally was supposed to actually direct this movie, and then I guess they got tangled up or he wasn't available or something.
Can I explain Michael my joke Crichton. Real quick?
Yes, you can.
Oh.
Michael Crichton died in 2008, so he definitely didn't have anything to do with this one.
That's where I was going to go with that.
Okay, heard. He took it. He went to, well, I'm not really sure, maybe. Nobody laughed at my joke, so I had to explain it.
Ratings.
Who wants to go first?
Jeff, you love this movie. Set the bar.
Okay, let's see.
Do you need time
rating
to think, Jeff?
Twisters.
Or are you good?
I need to pull up the.
While you're pulling up and thinking, you just let us know when you're ready. Brandon, do you think they're gonna make money? On the do you know what the budget is for this one?
I think for Twisters? Thought I saw that it was $200 million.
Mm-hmm. 200 million.
Cool.
And hey, they had a great opening. They're on their they're doing good. So the opening was like 81 or something like that domestically.
Okay.
So do you think they're going to get to 4? Because it's going to be a big thing with Deadpool coming out.
I know.
And does this hold up against Deadpool? Is Deadpool just going to wipe everything that's currently going on?
I think this will hold up. I think that they're going to get close. If they don't break even. It honestly wouldn't surprise me, but if it hit $500 million, I wouldn't be surprised either. It's a strange strategy to go the week before Deadpool and only get a week in. But
well, I mean, it all depends on where, when everything was going to be released. And also, they might have just finished it, you know, fucking 3 weeks ago. So they probably might not have been able to. I don't know what, like, moved around. Because I feel like it'd be more likely that Twister would move to get away from Deadpool rather than Deadpool move. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe Deadpool just jumped up recently and we don't realize it. We didn't realize in the last month or so they moved everything forward. And Twister's like, well, what the fuck are we going to do now? Like, nothing we can do. I don't think it's just a casual, we're going to drop it here. I think there is... there's a lot of strategy. We're gonna do these campaigns when it leads up to. We're gonna get to this point, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
So, I do. I don't know. It's hard. You know, it's at what 122 or 30 million worldwide so far through 4 or 5 days now that we're recording it. So okay. It'd be shocking if they didn't make their money back and start making money. But the original, I just want to throw it out there that the original made. Just shy of $500 million.
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow.
Made a shit ton on a $92 million budget.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, for real.
1996, too.
Yeah. And to jump on that, I feel like the dates, because usually when I see trailers, I put the dates in my calendar. I don't think I had to jump any of these dates since like earlier this year.
Okay,
but it's also interesting to think about because you guys had told me Inside Out 2 is probably the highest grossing movie this year far. Mm-hmm. So that's another Disney competitor that came on earlier. So they might have been trying to fit in the summer like spot between those.
Yeah,
that's very true.
And, like, yeah, there's so many variables. You know,
if I was arguing, I would say that they're different demographics. But yes, I do. I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good point, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, for the first time, a good point.
Hey, I have some.
you do have some.
So far, we're at one, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, let's make it two. So my rating here.
Hey, damn, I was going to buy you some more time, but go ahead.
just based on our conversations during this episode, I think I like this movie a little more than you guys did. But and the reasons being, I think the acting was great. Between Daisy Edgar Jones and Glenn Powell, I loved their characters and their interactions the whole movie. I was along for the ride. It was a lot of fun. I do like the visuals, like the handheld and like the filmic look and everything. Like it all felt very nostalgic and like to the original. I did like all the references that they did to the original. I thought they put in some fun work towards like the scientific information that they had their characters leaning on and like basing a lot of the story around. I thought that was fun. The CG, I kept thinking the entire time, I was like, these tornadoes look honestly really good.
I agree.
It was great. Yeah, I mean, just even based on like, it's like almost like there's a nostalgic factor into it. And that's why I'm looking at my ratings, I'm going to place it in the same tier as what I have Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny at, because it's not my, it's good. And it's like, it was fun and it was entertaining. I had fun. And so, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a 7.5 for me.
Oh,
damn, I was so close.
Yeah, you were really close.
Oh, I went 7.75. That was my guess.
Nah, I don't think I could put it that high with some of those others I have there.
Yeah.
I honestly thought you were going to be in the eights.
No, not quite that high. Like, I enjoyed it, but it was good. It was solid.
See, Brandon, 7. You have to calibrate to the person, okay?
Oh, right.
If you say one nice thing, then we're guessing eights or so. Jeff's got to say a lot.
Yeah, if you guys were to guess a 7 something most of the time, you'd probably be right.
That's very true.
Like, I think most of my ratings are in the 7s for movies.
Sweet. You want to go next, Brandon?
Sure.
B-Rizzle?
So,
Fizzle?
Brizzle? I'll start by saying I enjoyed this movie. I was entertained by it by the end. I did feel like it was a little bit basic plot wise and character development wise, at least to start. But I like where they progressed. I like that there was progression. I like that there wasn't a big romance story. It wasn't, you know, centered around finding love, but more centered around finding yourself and you know, rekindling something that you like yourself. I thought that the production design was pretty fantastic. That was enjoyable to watch. We didn't talk about that, the one-er either. That was awesome to pull off. The feat that was in the pool. Scene was, yeah, that was all a one-er. So that was pretty fantastic. So to pull something like that off, definitely helps.
It's no 1917, but
okay. It's no 1917. Yeah, you're right.
It's close.
They only did it once.
They started in a pool and they ended in a pool.
Yeah, the visuals were good.
Was it, Brandon, was it closer to 1917 than Moonfall?
Yes.
Okay. Sure.
Yes.
So you just put this movie and 1917 in the same breath. Wow, dude. Go ahead.
I didn't love it. I thought that it could have taken a few different directions. I feel like we talked about how they were trying to, you know, spin too many plates at once. That kind of diminished some of the overall storytelling. Acting wise, there were moments where I loved them, and there were moments where I was just really bored by each of the actors. Some of them were a little underutilized. Some of them definitely didn't need to be there. So it was definitely a mixed bag. I was entertained by it nonetheless. So I think I'm going to give this one a 7.5 as well.
Ooh.
Wow.
Brandon,
Have we ever matched
before?
I don't know if we have, Jeff.
I don't know if we have either. I don't remember this feeling I'm having.
I think we did during a movie club.
I'm feeling it, and I'm chasing it here.
7.5. Should I just do...
yes, you should. One of us.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you guys, match.
Maybe this is the most shocking match for me. I would have figured his would have been lower than mine.
The way he was talking about it, I was like, damn, homie. But anyways. Yeah. Okay, so for Mateo, turn.
Match us.
What'd
match
you
us.
Say?
Match us.
Oh, I know. I was debating on it. I wasn't going to go 7.5, but I'm now really thinking about it.
Do it. Actually, Jeff, we have more matches than I realized.
Yeah. We don't talk about it enough. Starting now.
All right. So, I think the acting was good all around. I really liked the two main chemistry. The problems I had with like some of the writing, I would equate it more with some of the problems what I had with like characters or acting would be equate to me is writing instead of acting necessarily. I think some bad dialogue, some bad lines here and there. I think they were solid. I think it looked good. Obviously, I didn't love the shaky cam. Shakiness, whatever. Sorry. I thought it visually, like the color, it felt appropriate. Other than that, everything else, like visually how they did it, felt appropriate. The colors, they didn't go crazy, you know, superhero pop color pops or anything. They kept it pretty plain. I think it fit the general aesthetics of, you know, the scene and everything. I think my big issue with this one is the story as a whole. You know, I didn't think the villain was a real character. I felt like they tried to fit too many people. I would have liked more of, you know, following the team around rather than the two of them specifically. It felt like we were following their relationship. I personally felt like the rom-com was the A storyline, and then Tornadoes was the B storyline, realistically. Well, honestly, I thought it was more of her mental health then was B, then it was Tornadoes. I liked a lot of it felt intense, but it didn't feel as intense as I was expecting. And I wonder if I just went in with higher expectations than I should have, because I was getting a little amped when I saw how big the previews were, how big the opening weekend was going to be, and what I heard about it. So I was expecting much more of an intense like CG experience than I got. I feel like I got a little bit more of like the mixture of it was big disasters, but in reality also it was like a smaller love story. I just felt like everything was, you know, I don't know. I wanted the music to be turned down. I wanted this. I wanted, you know, I wanted a different movie. I wanted them to focus on different stuff. All in all, though, I walked out of it, you know, more or less enjoying. I'm not going to go 7.5 for like you guys. I'm going to go...
Ruining it.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm going to go... Honestly, I'm going to go a 7 flat.
Oh, I was so close.
I wasn't guessing. I should have guessed.
I know.
It's
Jeff,
on,
what the fuck?
On the same level as Cocaine Bears, Flamin' Hot, Challengers, Ghosted. I like stuff about it, but...
You hated it, man.
Ultimately, I don't... It's hard for me to put up against some of the other movies that have come out this year. Mm-hmm. And especially ones, whether it makes money or doesn't make money. I think it's hard for me to put up against, you know, Kingdoms and freaking other stuff that came out this year that I can't think of. Civil War, you know, I don't know. I think other things.
Ghostbusters.
Did I put Ghostbusters ahead of it?
Yeah, you did.
Oh.
Hey, I got, at the end of this year, we're doing rating changes.
Yeah, you can add this one to that list.
I already have 14 written down. I'm reshaping my ratings. It is happening because some of this shit is bullshit. Looking at my own. Yeah, 7.5 is a lot. But I do think... Anyways. Yeah, I'm gonna stick with 7. I was disappointed. Whether it's rightful or not, I was disappointed. Maybe I just like Twister, the first one, too much. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the problem. And it just didn't live up to what I was hoping for. So 7.5.
7.5.
All right, sweet.
For you.
Oh, wait, Jeff, we have to answer. I have a clear answer. I think the original is better than this one, personally.
I'm torn. That's why that question is so difficult. Like, I like, I don't know. They changed enough things in each one that that makes it difficult. Because I liked, the CG is probably one of the things that bugged me the most in the first one.
Yeah, it was really bad.
One, it was exceptional. Like, I thought the tornadoes
looked
amazing.
There's definitely some cheesy stuff in the first one that I think if we didn't watch it, you know, in the 90s or whatever, we would probably watch again and go, okay, well, that's kind of not fantastic. But as a whole.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The deciding factor for me that's, like, making me have issues is he's half of it. I liked both of their performances. Together. God,
he was just walking through the sprinkler at one point. Like, the fuck, guys? No. Anyways. their rain kind of sucked. I thought their fake rain sucked. Anyways.
I don't remember what it looked like.
Bad.
Oh, I think, is it? I remember the scene.
I think the fake rain looked pretty shitty.
Yeah, but, I'm torn.
Well, that answers the question. I answered the question. Jeff did not. But you know, everyone should let us know down below. Comment if you think this one was better than the original or what. I bet you that's going to be very age-based. Maybe this is just me showing my age because I'm a whole 33, right?
Yeah,
33.
I can't keep track of my own.
Congrats.
But yes, no, please, everyone, let us know what you thought of Twisters, if you liked it more or less than the original Twister. If it's its own thing, if it can truly be rated on its own, or if it's impossible to do that because the first one was so iconic. We're all over social media, so come find us somewhere. Let us know what you think. Say hello. Tell a friend to listen.
Hello.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. Enjoy the movies. Bonjour. And we'll talk to you next week with possibly Deadpool. We'll find out. Bye.
Woo!
Bye.
Bye.